Plate.com. Make affordable crowd-pleasing meals at home. Choose from 14 delicious and affordable recipes that change every week. Everything you need is shipped to your door. Home-cooked deliciousness, nearly in 30 minutes. Save time and skip tedious trips to the grocery store. Save money and enjoy tasty dinners that won't break the bank at only $4.99 per serving. Easy-to-cook recipes that only six simple steps and will turn you into a chef. And you can skip or cancel anytime. Some of the meals are sweet chili chicken, super smash burgers, balsamic glazed pork chops, Tuscan pork meatballs, crispy blue chicken, cheese chicken, chicken sausage meatball soup, sausage chicken and pepper stir fry, garlic and white sauce, flatbreads, caramelized onion meatloaf, loaded baked potato chowder, creamy chicken sausage penne and black bean and pepper, jack tostadas, chili garlic soup, crispy chickpea couscous, 6 chicken breasts, ground beef, and 4 chicken breasts. Just select this recipe after signing up. Recommended by 9,000 families. Break the cycle of boring. Good morning. Hope you had a good week. Today's true crime supernatural paranormal story is, what is superstition? A superstition is a belief or practice resulting from ignorance, fear of the unknown, trust in magic or chance, or a false perception of causation, or an irrational abject attitude of mind toward the supernatural nature or God resulting from superstition. Often it arises from ignorance, a misunderstanding of science, or casualty, a belief in fate or magic, or fear of that which is unknown. It is commonly applied to beliefs and practices surrounding luck, prophecy, and certain spiritual beings, particularly in the belief that future events can be foretold by something apparently unrelated prior events. The word superstition is often used to refer to a religion not practiced by the majority of a given society, regardless of whether the prevailing religion contains alleged superstitions. The superstitious practices of placing a rusty nail in a lemon is believed to ward off the evil eye and evil in general, as detailed in the folklore text, popular beliefs, and superstitions from Utah. Identifying something as a superstition, generally pejorative, items referred to as such in common parlance here, commonly referred to as folk belief in folkloristics. Etymology. The word superstition was first used in English in the 15th century, borrowed from French superstition, which contains Latin superstitio. The earliest known use as the English noun is found in Friar Dawes' reply, circa 1420, where the four general signs are enumerated as seditions, superstitions, pagel towns, and pay proud. P-R-O-U-D-E. While the formation of Latin words clear from the verb super, stare, to stand over, a stand upon, survive, its original intended sense is less clear. It can be interpreted as standing over a thing in amazement or awe, but other positives have suggested, e.g., the sense of excess, i.e., over scrupulousness or over ceremoniousness in the performing of religious rites, or else the survival of old irrational religious habits. The earliest known use as a noun is found in Plautus, Ennius, and later by Pliny, with the meaning of art of divination. From its use in the classical Latin of Livy and Ovid, it is used to in the pejorative sense that it holds today, an excessive fear of the gods or unreasonable religious belief, as opposed to religio, the proper reasonable awe of the gods. Cicero derived the term from superstitio, see literal, those who are left over, i.e. survivors, descendants connecting with excessive anxiety of parents and hoping that the children would survive them to perform the necessary funerary rites. While Cicero distinguishes between religio and superstitio, Lucretius uses only the word religio, only with pejorative meaning. Throughout all of his work, he distinguished only between ratio and religio. The Latin verb superstiris itself is comparatively young, being perhaps not anti-Augustan, first found in Livy and The meaning to survive is even younger, found in later ecclesiastical Latin, for the first time in Enaldius. The use of the noun by Cicero and Horace thus predates the first attestation of the verb. It doesn't exclude that the verb might have been used after the name. The word superstitio or superstitio vana, vain superstition, was applied in the first century to the official outlaw religious cults in the Roman Empire. This concerned the religion of the Druids in particular, which was described as a superstitio vana by Tacitus, and early Christianity outlawed as a superstitio Ludaica in AD 80 by Domitian. Superstition and religion. Greek and Roman polytheists, who modeled their relations with their gods on political and social terms, scorned the man who constantly trembled with fear at the thought of the gods as a slave feared a cruel and capricious master. Such fear of the gods was what the Romans meant by superstition. Diderot's Encyclopedia defines superstition as any excess of religion in general and links it specifically with paganism. In his prelude on the Babylonian captivity of the church, Martin Luther, who called the papacy that fountain and source of all superstitions, accuses the Pope's superstition. From there was a scarce another of the celebrated bishoprics that had so few learned pontiffs, only in violence, intrigue, and superstition has it hitherto surpassed the rest. For the men who occupied the Roman see 1,000 years ago differ to so vastly from those who have since come into power that one is compelled to refuse the name of Roman pontiff either to the former or to the latter. The current Catechism of the Catholic Church considers superstition sinful in the sense that it denotes a perverse excess of religion as a demonstrated lack of trust in divine providence and a violation of the first of the Ten Commandments. The Catechism defends against the accusations that Catholic doctrine is superstitious. Superstition is a deviation of religious feeling and that of the practices this feeling imposes. It can even affect the worship we offer the true God, e.g., when one attributes an importance in some way magical to certain practices otherwise lawful or necessary. To attribute the efficacy of prayers or sacramental signs to their mere external performance apart from the interior dispositions that they demand is to fall into superstition. Matthew 23:16-22. Superstition and psychology, origins, behaviorism, perspective. In 1948, behavioral psychologist B.F. Skinner published an article in the Journal of Experimental Psychology in which described these pigeons exhibiting what appeared to be superstitious behavior. One pigeon was making turns in his cage, another would swing its head in a pendulum motion, while others also displayed a variety of other behaviors because these behaviors were all done ritualistically in an attempt to receive food from a dispenser, even though the dispenser had already been programmed to release food at the set time intervals regardless of the pigeon's actions. Skinner believed that the pigeons were trying to influence their feeding schedule by performing these actions. He then extended this as a proposition regarding the nature of superstitious behavior in humans. Skinner's theory regarded superstition being the nature of the pigeon's behavior has been challenged by other psychologists such as Staden and Simmelhag, who theorized an alternative explanation for the pigeon's behavior. Despite challenging Skinner's interpretation of the root of his pigeon's superstitious behavior, his conception of the reinforcement schedule has been used to explain superstitious behavior in humans. Originally in Skinner's animal research, some pigeons responded up to 10,000 times without reinforcement when they had originally been conditioned and on an intermittent reinforcement basis compared to the other reinforcement schedules, e.g. fixed ratio, fixed interval. These behaviors were also the most resistant to extension. This is called the partial reinforcement effect, and this has been used to explain superstitious behavior in humans. To be more precise, this effect means that whenever an individual performs an action expecting a reinforcement and none seems forthcoming, it actually creates a sense of persistence within the individual. This is strongly parallel superstitious behavior here because the individual feels that by continuing this action, reinforcement will happen, or that reinforcement has come at certain times in the past as a result of this action, although not all the time, but this may be one of those times. Evolutionary cognitive perspective. From a simpler perspective, natural selection will tend to reinforce a tendency to generate weak associations or heuristics that are overgeneralized. If there is a strong survival advantage to making correct associations, then this will outweigh the negatives of making many incorrect superstitious associations. It has also been argued that there may be connections between OCD and superstition. This may be connected to hygiene. A recent theory by Jane Risen proposed that superstitions are intuitions that people acknowledge to be wrong, but acquiescent to rather than correct when they arise as the intuitive assessment of a situation. Her theory draws on dual process models of reasoning. In this view, superstitions are the output of system one reasoning that are not corrected even when caught by system two. Mechanisms. People seem to believe that superstition influences events by changing the likelihood of currently possible outcomes rather than by creating new possible outcomes in sporting events. For example, a lucky ritual or object is thought to increase the chance that an athlete will perform at the peak of their ability rather than increasing their overall ability at that sport. Consequently, people whose goal is to perform well are more likely to rely on supernatural assistance, lucky items, and rituals than are people whose goal is to improve their skills and disability and abilities and learn in the same context. Psychologist Stuart Weiss has pointed out that until about 2010, most researchers assumed superstitions were irrational and focused their attention on discovering why people were superstitious. Weiss went on to describe studies that looked at the relationship between performance and superstition. Rituals. Preliminary work has indicated that such rituals can reduce stress and thereby improve performance, but Weiss said not because they are superstitious, but because they are rituals. So there is no real magic, but there is a bit of calming magic in performing a ritualistic sequence before attempting a high-pressure activity. Any old ritual will do. Occurrence. People tend to attribute events to supernatural causes in psychological jargon, external causes, most often under two circumstances. People are more likely to attribute an event to a superstitious cause if it is unlikely that it is lucky. In other words, the more surprising the event, the more lucky it is to evoke a supernatural explanation. This is believed to stem from an affectance, motivation, a desire to exert control over one's environment. When no natural cause can explain a situation, attributing an event to a superstitious cause may give people some sense of control and ability to predict what will happen in their environment. People are more likely to attribute an event to a superstitious cause if it is negative than positive. This is called negative agency bias. Boston Red Sox fans, for instance, attribute the failure of their team to win the World Series for 86 years to their curse of the Bambino, a curse placed on the team for trading Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees so that the team owner could fund a Broadway musical. When the Red Sox finally won the World Series in 2004, however, the team's success was attributed to the team's skill and the rebuilding effort of their new owner and general manager. More commonly, people are more likely to perceive their computer to act according to its own intentions when it malfunctions than functions properly. Superstition and politics. Ancient Greek historian Polybius, in his histories, uses the word superstition, explaining that in ancient Rome, that belief maintained the cohesion of the empire, operating as an instrumentum regni. Opposition to superstition was first recorded in ancient Greece, where philosophers such as Protagoras and the Epicureans exhibited agnosticism or aversion to religion and myths, and Plato, especially his allegory of the cave, and Aristotle both present their work as parts of a search for truth. In the classical era, the existence of gods was actively debated both among philosophers and theologians, and opposition to superstition arose consequently. The poem De Rerum Natura, written by the Roman poet and philosopher Lucretius, really developed the opposition to superstition. Cicero's work, De Naturvadiorum also had a great influence on the development of the modern concept of superstition, as well as the word itself. Where Cicero distinguished superstitio and religio, the Christians used only the word religio. Cicero, for whom superstitio meant excessive fear of the gods, wrote that superstitio non religio tollendiis, which means that only superstition and not religion should be abolished. The Roman Empire also made laws condemning those who excited excessive religious fears in others. During the Middle Ages, the idea of God's influence on the world's events went mostly undisputed. Trials by ordeal were quite frequent when thought, even though Frederick II, 1194 to 1250 AD, was the first king who explicitly outlawed trials by ordeals, they were considered irrational. The rediscovery of lost classical works, the Renaissance, and scientific advancement led to a steadily increased disbelief in superstition, and new, more rational lens was beginning to see use in exegesis. Opposition to superstition was central to the Age of Enlightenment. The first philosopher to dare to criticize superstition publicly and in a written form was Baruch Spinoza, who was the key figure in the Age of Enlightenment. Religion and national superstitions. Most superstitions arose over the course of centuries and are rooted in regional and historical circumstances, such as religious beliefs or the natural environment. For instance, geckos are believed to be of medicinal value in many Asian countries, but not in regions where geckos are not found. In China, feng shui is a belief system that is said to have a negative effect on different places, e.g. that a room in the northwest corner of the house is very bad. Similarly, the number 8 is a lucky number in China, so that it is more common than any other number in the Chinese housing market. Thank you for listening to this episode on superstition. On what is superstition? Have a good week and stay safe.